Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Griselda's over, but we are just getting started here on post-show recaps. That's right, it's full spoiler recaps. We're binging a new season of a show every week and chatting about it in full spoilery detail in just one podcast. I'm Jess Sterling. Today we are discussing Netflix's Griselda. And of course, I am joined here by my partner in crime, Grace Leader. Grace, how are you?
Wait, what? I watched 11 seasons of Modern Family. Wait, what? Oh wait, hold on, what? I watched 250 episodes of Modern Family. What was I supposed to do?
Only 6 episodes, 6 hours versus probably hundreds of hours of television.
I watched Griselda. I watched it. I liked it. I liked Griselda.
Yeah, I did too. We'll get into it. But before we do, don't forget to subscribe. PostShowRecaps.com/full spoiler recaps and PostShowRecaps.com/subscribe if you want to see all the content we have coming out right now. And if you didn't watch Griselda, go do it. It's on Netflix. It's 6 episodes, about 45-ish minutes a piece. So really not too bad. I watched it in a span of like 4 days, I think. So
yeah, I
mean, pretty quickly.
We're recording on Monday night. It came out on Friday. So, we watched it very quickly.
Yeah, have to, right?
Uh-huh.
I have to say, I went into it with like, kind of like meh expectations. Obviously, Sofia Vergara, we all know her from Modern Family. She, you know, is known for being more comedic. And so this is a very dramatic role. And I didn't know anything about Griselda Blanco going into this. Mm-hmm. I knew the general gist of what the story was going to be about. Mm-hmm. I knew that it involved people who worked on Narcos, which like kind of gave me an idea of what I might expect. But Grace, I was pleasantly surprised with how much I enjoyed this miniseries.
Yeah, I mean, I think how this thing came to be is, yes, creators of Narcos worked on this. Narcos was a huge hit. I believe it also had a spinoff, Narcos. There's two Narcos series that were on Netflix. And then there's this. And Griselda Blanco is somebody who has been portrayed in media before, I think pretty unsuccessfully, based on what I've seen. I don't know that I've seen anything, but everything, the reviews are kind of like, yeah, it never really does her justice. And then the other piece is, you know, as people are talking about this being Sofia Vergara's, like, you know, the thing she's in right now, looking back and being like, she was never nominated, I believe, for an Emmy for her work in Modern Family. And I feel like some of the narrative is like, this is her proving that she is an actor. She also executive produced this. So she put in work to make it get
very
made.
Very passionate about this project in particular. I remember hearing. So yeah.
Yeah. And so this is kind of like, take this like very complicated figure, but in a story that is familiar, I think, with like the Narcos and true crime sensation that is now. And Sofia Vergara will play Griselda Blanco. And overall, I thought, even if I don't know that it aligns perfectly with what happened, and I feel like to a degree, I want to talk about Griselda Blanco's like portrayal in the show. I thought if you just like kind of like take it without most context, it was pretty enjoyable.
I totally agree. I ended up obviously looking up Griselda Blanco after the fact to kind of see how much really aligned with her life and the show. And unsurprisingly, she killed all three of her husbands. Which is like, if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about Griselda Blanco. But yeah, I totally agree. I thought that Sofia Vergara was so good in this. I thought she did such an excellent job at playing someone who is really like, I mean, a cold-blooded killer at the end of the day, but at the same time, you know, this like this big drug queenpin, if you want to say, but also just the complexity with which, like, right, all these roadblocks she's up against, misogyny, and just like never being taken seriously, and how much it gets to her. But then, you know, and I'm not even going to say she broke bad, because she was already bad on episode one, you know, yeah. It was just breaking further bad.
Yeah. Some of the feedback I saw that it's like, but they're ignoring all the stuff she did before. And it's like, not really. I don't think
who
so.
Who cares, like, though? But do we need that? Like, I was happy to be plopped into, like, not the middle of the story, but like the beginning of the middle of the story.
Well, she says, like, from all my time working in New York and running a drug cartel, like, this is how I learned how to do all this stuff and why I'm able to do it. Like, they definitely acknowledge it. I think, you know, but I fully agree. A lot of the reviews, right, like People Magazine says she's sensational. TV Guide says she's terrifyingly good. We've Empire Magazine says, what did they say? Something also good. Delivers an astonishing performance. Time Magazine says Griselda cast Sofia Vergara as a girl boss Scarface. So you got it.
Stop it, girl boss Scarface.
Girl boss Scarface.
I thought she did a really good job at, like, having – she has the poise and the confidence that you would expect of a female drug leader, like a drug lord. You'd have to expect they would have a good amount of charisma in order to get people on their side, right? Especially with misogyny and all of that. And I thought she had that. But she also had a little bit of the softness when – a tiny little bit when dealing with her family. And I thought it was so fun, Grace. Like, you know, we just celebrated, 25 years after the Sopranos pilot aired. Yeah. And obviously big things like Breaking Bad, which led into Better Call Saul, ended. And I loved hearing from Griselda, I did all of this for you and your hermanos. Like, this was all for my family, familia. Yeah. And I'm like, liar, you all say that.
To give a quick spoiler, we got, won't be too much, but basically, we start with her having fleeing Medellin from Alberto, her husband. We're going to learn that she basically she shot him, and she leaves with her three kids. She immediately, like, can't help but just, like, she brought a kilo of cocaine and is going to sell it, and immediately, like, grows an empire. She starts, you know, running into these, like, other drug bosses, kingpins, all these hot-headed men who, you know, and law enforcement who are following her. And she basically just kills anybody who's in her way while also suffering, you know, deaths of her own, like Alberto, her sort of close confidant, who dies. Ultimately, she ends up, like, giving herself up to avoid being assassinated. And when she does that, they also think that they can get her on more charges than just the drug charges that they're able to do. But they're not really, because whatever, this guy Reavy, he's sleeping with one of the detectives.
He's having phone sex with the secretary at the DA's office, and basically gets the case thrown out as a result. Yeah.
So she goes away for 13 years, right before, or 7 years. I'm mixing up, like, real life and the story, because they are a little bit different. Yeah. Right before she gets out, she learns that all three of her sons have been killed. The show implies that, like, they were all killed to make, like, an example for her right before she got out, like, leave her as close, you know, in just as before she's about to be released.
Yeah.
And she, as she's, like, also, as she's, like, the most successful, she's also basically losing her mind in this whole thing where she's making people, like, undress, and she's paranoid.
Well,
and
she
angry
seems
and,
to be using a bit too much of her own product is what it's implied. And she's high off of not just cocaine, but, like, the greed. Yeah. And we see how much she loves the nickname Godmother. Is, like, live high on her own supply, basically. But in two ways.
Anyway, then she's released. We then learn that years later she's assassinated. She's sent back to Medellin. Basically, in real life, it's because she has health issues, and she's, like, and she's ultimately assassinated. So,
but her fourth kid, Michael Corleone, which, wow, just
is suing Netflix.
Griselda.
Yeah, it's very
the name
funny.
Michael Corleone. Yeah. He, like, that story was wild to me, that she, like, basically has Dario executed to take Michael back.
Yeah.
And Michael then, after, you know, after Griselda goes to jail and all of Michael's brothers are killed. He's living in Medellin with his paternal grandmother, right?
Yeah, that's right.
He got into some legal trouble as well later on with like trafficking cocaine. Big time yikes for Michael.
Family business, yeah, for sure.
I was hoping that he got out. I was hoping when I went on the wiki page for Griselda Blanco that I was like, please let Michael Corleone become like an elementary school teacher or something. I just wanted the best for him.
Can I tell you? So I believe there's an article that got released that said they made Griselda ugly, and I don't know if that was character wise, because I actually think it's my biggest critique of the show is that there are ways in which she's probably too sympathetic, but that's fine. We'll get into it. Mm-hmm. But then he's suing the show for basically everybody else who's portrayed I guess that's the lawsuit. But the idea that they've made her ugly is so funny because I keep seeing Sofia Vergara transformation. And I'm when I look at pictures side by side, I'm but also Sofia Vergara is astonishingly beautiful, where I think even making her look more like Griselda Blanco, she's still one of the most beautiful.
Okay, I hope people, if you're watching this video on YouTube, I hope you saw my face when you said that they made Griselda ugly, because I was like, how, what?
I know.
The only thing I happened to notice was, especially when we flash forward in time, because we do skip a fair bit in time throughout the series. Yeah. When she's been using a lot of coke and everything, I did notice her teeth had yellowed and everything. Yes. So they certainly did. And her hair looks a little bit different. But Sofia Vergara ugly? Are you actually kidding me? This is, yeah, to your point.
She was wearing some prosthetics and stuff. She is wearing some. So if you do look at side-by-side picture of Sofia Vergara and then her as Griselda, they have done work on her face, but she still looks so beautiful.
She's still gorgeous. And the thing is I don't know. I just think to me, it didn't matter. I felt what's more important, obviously physical transformation is semi-important. You know, you want to get the look right, especially because this is in the 70s and the 80s. So you want to make sure the costuming and all of that is excellent. But I just thought she exuded the charisma that a drug lord would need. And so I kind of didn't care about the rest of it. You know, I still thought she looked beautiful. I love a 70s curtain bang moment. Mm. I thought her outfits were stellar. I thought something I noticed, Grace, and this is, this is on me. I'm not someone who usually notices directorial choices and stuff like that. But there were certain scenes where they were in that one particular club where Griselda is never allowed to go past the velvet rope. And then finally she's at the head table, club area where they had two characters sitting and behind them all these sparkly lights, and mm-hmm. Sofia Vergara was wearing this sparkly dress, and I was this is absolutely gorgeous.
I think the thing with a lot of cinematography is there are some that it's so good that it's you can't help but notice it, and then I think there's a level to which you notice bad cinematography, but you don't always notice pretty good cinematography, which I think is but the story in terms of why did this get made? Do we need, I've been kind of ranting on podcasts for the last few years about the death of the anti-hero, that I mm-hmm. think real life events have made us be no, bad people are bad and they're bad and they should just be bad. And I feel it's interesting that this show gets made and that it's about specifically a woman who is in an industry that there is you can't really just quit. And at the beginning of the show, I guess they are saying you basically could. You could just sell this maybe don't sell coke, or just sell this one, whatever, I don't know, measurements.
Well, she has many opportunities to get out of the business and chooses not to, even after her sons are we could spend all this time together, we could go here, we could go there, we could go to the movies, we could go bowling. It doesn't matter, she could have everyone saying sell, get out, go somewhere else. Dario, let's bring Michael somewhere else, I don't want him in this business. It doesn't matter, she's too hungry for the power.
Yeah. And I think to some degree, she's probably, even if you do leave, you can't really leave, too. I think that even if she sells, I think she's still probably it's not as easy to be she'll never have problems from the drug world or the drug cartel ever again. But at the same time, she is choosing to double down and become mm-hmm. more invested in control and whatever. And all of that, while that's happening, it's the unique situation of her being a woman in this awful masculine environment. All the people, who are you know, keeping her down on top of just because it's like the worst industry you could ever be involved in, but also yeah. because she's a woman. So,
yeah. And it's really interesting that because she starts off when she first starts selling in Miami, the way she gets the coke over because she imports it from Colombia is she has all these women who used to be sex workers working for her. Instead, they'll pack the coke in their bras and then get it over the border, basically. And yeah. so she not only she like I the most sympathetic I think I felt towards her was, oh God, there were two moments, I guess. The first was when she is like, she's has all these women now just sitting around in Miami and she's not going to get paid for all the coke that they smuggled over. And then she can't pay them. And so she just feels bad for like all these women who would have to go back to sex work if she wasn't going to be able to provide for them. Yeah. And then the second time being obviously when she is forced to sleep with her husband's brother to pay off a debt, which is just so disgusting and wrong. And like, just, I mean, yeah, that guy sucked so hard. Yeah. I hated him. Yeah.
Yeah. But she kills Alberto for that, so it's fine.
She kills a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing for me about this show is I'm not sure how I feel just about the portrayal of her in terms of how hard she found the killings. Because, so, yeah. I want to, like, talk this through and think about it. Because I think that there is a level to which maybe even the most sociopathic, you know, serial killer, you know, this type of thing, like there's some part of it, like, is this true that even, you know, every time basically someone she had to kill somebody, she did feel for it. Ultimately she decides to do it anyway. And so can those two realities, like, can they live in the same universe, that like you can feel bad yeah. when you do it and ultimately you're the type of person who can decide that like that's worth it or you have to, and because of the immense pressure she's under. And again, I'm not trying to like excuse her murder, because I'm saying I want to check myself whether my instinct of like she's like throwing up and like, you know, like crying and like, oh, we did it for nothing, like all of that stuff, I feel like makes her seem like an empathetic character. And I think, though, I feel like that's a really that's too sympathetic of a read, I think, of the show to just say like, well, then that makes her empathetic. Yeah. Because we can drown out our empathy of that by knowing that, like, well, she still does it. She orders all of these killings. And from what we know about in real life, she kills way more people than the show implies that she kills.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. The thing that, especially the part where she gets Dario and a partner of his to go and kill the witness. And then they end up having to kill the witness's wife and basically orphan a baby, an infant.
That is one of the murders she ultimately gets charged for in real life. It's one of the, when her kids die, she basically, I believe, goes into a plea deal about the murder because they're still actually trying to get her on the murder. So
yeah,
they kind of, you know, yada yada at the end, but she actually stays in jail, I think, for 13 years total on a 20-year sentence that we're all running concurrently. So she would have got out after 20 years. They let her out because of health issues, but one of the murders she does plead guilty to is killing the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which, yeah, well, yeah, that and the small child who dies basically accidentally.
Oh, that's the one. Sorry, that's what I mean.
That's the one you're talking about.
Yeah,
yeah. Because in this one, the baby is just orphaned. Like the baby has no parents now.
No, she does plead guilty to the murder where they accidentally killed a kid in the car because he was like there. Yeah.
But I agree with you. It was like, okay, I don't need to feel sympathy for this woman. I don't know that. That felt like they were writing that in to kind of make us like the character a bit more versus maybe that's actually how she felt, because make no mistake, she killed so many people and children certainly were affected. Her kids were involved in the business. Like, give me a break. You know, she didn't protect them from it. She brought them into it.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And I thought, in my opinion, the most sympathetic character, and they're all, I mean, they're pretty much all terrible, right? Like, they all do bad things, pretty much all of them, beyond some of the kids. But Dario, I thought, was such an interesting character. And I was really intrigued by him being kind of the, right, he first comes in as, like, a right-hand man to Griselda's, was it her husband, or was it the other guy? I'm getting
so I think it's up. So it's Alberto's brother. So it's her husband that she kills, right? She comes downstairs after having slept with him, right?
Gotcha.
And she walked me out, and then he walked her. And then the brother goes to, like, kill her, and then the kid comes in and is going to shoot him, and
that's right. And he chooses to shoot the other guy instead. He shoots
the brother instead of
that's
the
right.
kid.
Thank you. But yeah, going from him being, like, a contracted killer of sorts to being her, like, bodyguard and doing her dirty work for her, to then being her husband. And she even says, like, you softened after Michael was born. Right. And he's like, well, yeah, I don't want my son involved in this. He tries to take the kid out of it. He tries to take the kid to Columbia and get him out of it. Of course, he ultimately dies for doing that. But I thought his storyline was so fascinating, trying to get it into her head, like, you don't have to do this, you can get out of this business, you know, like, let's take the kids, let's get away. I don't know how much of that is true to real life. I mean, obviously we know in real life he did take Michael to Columbia, and when they, like, disagreed about custody, and then he was assassinated, so we know all of that is true. But I don't know, I was really drawn in. I thought they did a good job with a lot of the characters. The one that I had a little bit of a question on, and I don't know if you were able to track her a little bit better, was I think her name was Carmen, who was the friend with Griselda, who Griselda went to originally stay with in Miami, didn't want anything to do with the drug business, worked at, like, a travel agency, tried to get Griselda a job, which she was so painfully bored by, and she ultimately gets involved in this drug business. It seems like she just, it's too tempting of an offer to not say yes to.
She's also the one who June goes to flip on on her as well, which ultimately do we see what happened? We must see what happens to her, and I can't, just can't remember. Doesn't she get killed?
I don't remember her getting killed, but she might have been. A lot of people got killed.
I can't remember. I think it's really, you know, the story of, like, her being, like, so, like, what the hell are you doing? You moved in, like, you're not allowed to, you know, whatever. And then just being caught up in what this world, for the short time you're allowed to do it, gets you, which is money and power and influence and sex and drugs and whatever you want, right? She's just, like, and all she has to do is, like, buy plane tickets for the women who are going to, like, come over. Like, you know, it's, you know, I think the biggest thing in here, which I don't think this show does a super good job of, other than for Griselda, but for so many people, like, why do it? And most of the time it's because they don't have a lot of choice. Like, there's so that, like, once you kind of get sucked into this world, you get stuck in it, you don't have the means to get out of it. Trying to find just a regular work job, like, might not be enough to pay your bills, as opposed to, like, being involved in this incredibly dangerous thing. But, like, you know, and you can see that a little bit in when Griselda gives the speech to all the, like, people of, like, her new the new workers, but then you hear, like, she can give the best speech, but then literally, like, the next scene it'll be like, no, actually we just said we'd pay them more money and they're all going to work for us, so sorry, you're screwed. Like, it doesn't really matter, you know. It doesn't matter. It's because they get a lot of money, and it's worth, for them it's worth the risk. So I thought there was, you know, good in terms of Carmen, and that she's so adamant that she's not going to be a part of it until it feels like you could do this forever and make as much money as possible and never, and get away with it. Then she does it.
Yeah. It's really interesting. I thought, I really liked getting kind of different women that were all involved in this story, but at different, you know, different amounts of involvement, I would say. So we have Griselda, obviously head honcho, and then you have Carmen, who gets kind of sucked into this world, and she really resists, but she can't ultimately resist too much when it comes to the money aspect. And then you have June, who is the detective on the case. And I thought her story was fascinating. Obvious. I felt like, very obviously to me, this was written just for the show. I don't know that this person existed at the time, you know, if she was the one who was tracking Griselda and ultimately led to her conviction and all that. But June's story was so interesting because She yeah. also gets, it's like the tale of misogyny and what it does to women, right? Like, she gets no respect at her job. She's a single mother, which also makes things very difficult for her in terms of being there for her son. And she's like, but she's a really good detective. And she's the one who keeps hitting the, what is it? Beating the drum of, no, it's a female drug lord. It's a fee. And no one will believe her. Like, that's not even possible. Yeah. But she ultimately does nail Griselda and takes her in. But I thought I loved getting the kind of parallel storylines between June and Griselda this miniseries.
Yeah. She's June Hawkins is a real person who did help take down Griselda. So that's cool. As opposed to Carmen.
Oh, incredible.
Who is fictionalized. But one of the things I really do love about like shows like, you know, Narcos is about trying to get Pablo Escobar. And I do always, you know, there's this like joke about criminals that like Al Capone got taken down on tax evasion, right? It's like, it's not all the murders and all the bad stuff he did. He just got caught for tax evasion. I kind of always love, and it's because like the justice system is not perfect or even maybe good, but it does have ways in which you can't just arrest, even if you know that you have to have proof and all of this stuff. And so I kind of love in these shows, in like the crime shows, of like where it's like, well, we could get her on that, but you actually, if you only get her on that, then like you only have evidence for this thing. And that's the big thing that June and her boss Al are struggling with at the end. And he's kind of like, you know, we have to be okay with seven. At least she'll be away for like 7 years, right? Or like 13 at the most or whatever. And she's like, no, it's not good enough. She needs to like serve justice for all of the things she did. But it's so hard to get people, even like getting Carmen to talk is that it's Carmen's son, I think, who dies is the one, right? Because Rivi is going to try and go and kill Carmen's boyfriend, who she thinks is an informant because he wouldn't help her son. And he also didn't come to her birthday party. So she's like, it must be, and she thinks it's Carmen. Rivi's like, no, it must be him. And then he goes and he misses and he shoots the son and they see it on TV. And so that's the thing that propels Carmen to go and talk to June, but June trying to like, come on, like, you know, we have to get her, and her persistence in trying to put Griselda away. And this like thing in these crime shows of like, if you just catch them for dealing a bit of drugs, it's nothing. Yeah. You have
to. Well, that's how they got Rivi, right? Was that it wasn't on drugs. It was, they got him for kidnapping Ozzy, the youngest.
Actually got him because he robbed the bank, which he only tried to exchange quarters. And then he showed a gun. And so he didn't really rob the bank. But then, they like say that he's kidnapped Ozzy and they are able to arrest him. Yeah.
Really interesting, Rivi. He felt like very he felt very 70s. Like, he just I don't know, he epitomized the 70s for me. And he was like very like a bit of a seductor kind of guy. Is that a word? Seductress is a word. So he just seduced people. I have to admit, Grace, when we saw the scene of him having phone sex while in prison,
and this is also true. This is true as well.
This is a true thing. But I was a bit like, why am I watching this? Until it was then said, like, oh no, she works in the DA's office and the case is like thrown out because of it. I was like, oh, you sly little mother. Like, she knew what he was doing.
Yeah. I did like the line where she's like, cause they talk and he's like, you know, maybe in past lives we were, as somebody who I was a big fan of past lives this year, last year. So yeah. And then he's like, yeah, in past lives. And then he does do the plea deal. And she's like, what the hell? And he's like, well, I'm not going to die for you in this life. Like,
yeah, that was a good line.
That was pretty good. Yeah.
One other thing before we get into the superlatives, a small thing that I really enjoyed that they did throughout the entire series was Griselda having her little moment alone with her cigarette and kind of like tracing a future that she can see for herself almost.
I
loved those small moments, especially when like obviously the final one is her, you know, on the beach watching her three sons who have all been killed. And she's like, you know, imagining herself on a beach when she's in a prison cell. I thought that was really, really well done.
Yeah, I think that for me, the show, I do think the other performances, there are performances in here that are pretty good. She's really good in this. And I actually wonder, I think there's a good shot she gets nominated actually for a limited. Interestingly, like we're in a weird time where like, yeah, the Emmys are going to happen again probably this year in September. So we actually won't be that far off. So I definitely think she could get nominated in a limited series. I think she's really good. And she's just like immensely captivating on screen. I was joking with you before that, like, we've been watching this one was only 6 episodes, but in some ways it was as much of to watch this as much as like we watched 3 seasons of Slow Horses. And like, I had to watch 2 seasons of For All Mankind because, you had to watch it, like the choice to have it be in Spanish. The other thing about casting Sofia Vergara, like she is Colombian, because like a lot of the other representation of Griselda Blanco has not been accurate. And, you know, you go back and forth on whether like, does the drug lord need accurate representation, but probably yes. So Sofia Vergara signs up, but I just thought she was so good. I thought the choice to keep it a lot of the talking in Spanish, although like it meant like I couldn't really look at my phone, or I realized I like had missed the last 5 minutes. And to be fair, I normally don't do that as much if like when I'm watching a bunch, like the first 2 seasons of Slow Horses, I wasn't watching as intently as then we were going to talk about the third season.
Right.
But no, I just thought her performance was really good. She was so captivating. The costuming was amazing, but her performance in general, just to me, stands out way above, I think, everything else that happened on the show.
I totally agree. As much as I was intrigued by Dario's storyline, I thought that like by far the best performance was Sofia Vergara as Griselda. She was just like so interesting to watch. Like you could you could feel the power coming off of her, you know, in a lot of ways. But are you ready to get into some superlatives?
Let's do it.
Okay, so first one up, of course, is best scene, which, God, there are a lot of them. I'm trying to think of which one I would pick for the best one.
Okay, so I did highlight this one earlier. I don't know if it's my best, but it's standing out to me, which is when she does give the, like, unifying speech to all the men as on their trucks and whatever, and she's like, you know, this is, you know, they don't respect you. They don't care who you are. I'll do that. I thought that was good. Her freak out at the party is so uncomfortable, but it's pretty good. Making them like get the guy down on his to get naked and bark, and then making the two people F. And then there's one that I'll just save because I want to nominate it for best death if we're going to do best death. But there's a scene that like, I think it's my favorite scene from the show. So
I think, go ahead and say what is it
when they kill Alberto. I did not see that coming, of like she has gotten her army, her militia, to like bomb everything, like all the other Miami things, and then they're like willing to do a truce, and she's like
Arturo,
yes.
Alberto was her husband.
No, F Alberto. I do mean Arturo. And yes, so she's bombed all of her stuff. And then they're like, okay, we'll give in. And she's like, no, you have to keep doing it. We'll show our power. So they do it. And then when they go for like the truce meeting, they just kill Arturo. And they're like, well, you had to pay for like some of you, and you'll just never do that again. Right. And it was like, oh my God, this world is so ruthless, of like, you think you're doing this thing to hold power over someone, and then they just kill your like right-hand man. It was brutal. It's the best death by far for me, but it's like,
it was a really good scene. I think, so I have two that come to mind. One is when she lights all of the coke on fire in the middle of like an empty pool and does pretty that good. Massive speech. Any speech she does is like pretty incredible. So that's up there for me. And then, it did tug on my heartstrings like a tiny little bit when she gave her sons all the matching necklaces. I have to admit, I just felt,
June gives one back.
Oh, that was heartbreaking. It was more about, I'm not like, again, this is not me like sympathizing for Griselda. It was more about like the kids, right? Like she says it's all for them, but we know it's not. And like her manipulating them essentially with these gifts, like it just broke my heart for the kids.
Yeah.
But yeah, certainly lighting the coke on fire. I don't know. That was just
pretty
so cool.
Yeah, pretty good.
Light something on fire, I'm happy.
Well, then they did that, and then Arturo got shot. So, you know, be careful.
Yep. Yeah. Best character. I mean,
No brainer. It's Griselda. No brainer.
Griselda, right? Like, who else would it be? And she's the best and the worst.
Do you know what? There is one character we haven't talked about yet, which is one of Griselda's son. I really like that scene where they're having dinner and Uber Eats.
Yeah. You had to do it. You had to do it.
I, you know what? Contrary to popular belief, I didn't have to do it.
I will say though, I will say, because I'm pretty sure it's Uber.
Uber.
Yeah. I really liked, I loved, actually, I should say is this is one of the best scenes too. I'm giving so many scenes, but the scene that she has with Uber when she tells him she's pregnant whole conversation, I really thought Uber was such an interesting character. He's so different than Dixon, who's like the one who freaks out and shoots people and that.
And then Uber tells Dario, and then I like the scene later, which like, I used to never tell anybody anything, you know, my secrets. You know what scene I also did like, and I thought was like, kind of like, you know, of the show, is when Dario finds out she's pregnant, or they know she's pregnant, like, and he talks about he's gonna like make the thing and he wants her to get out, and she's like, he's like, why didn't you tell me? And she's like, because I didn't want this to basically happen where you think you need to protect me and the baby that's inside of me, which is like true from like feminism, and also like, yeah, but literally the business you're in, like, so many people die, so like maybe he's right,
you maybe know? He should know, and maybe he should get out. Worst character.
Is it Rafa who's gonna kill her at the end? He's pretty bad. Alberto making her sleep.
I'm trying to find the Alberto really sucks. Yeah, Alberto's up there for me. The other guy I really hated, and I'm so sorry, I'm so bad with names. I can't remember his name. Is it Rigo? Who's the guy whose father she accidentally like kills when she thinks she kills him? And he has the urn with him.
There is a guy named Rigo. I don't know whether
might be Rigo. But I mean, honestly, I think I would go with Alberto anyway. Like he made her sleep with his brother. That's so you're nasty. You're nasty.
Oh, do you know what other scene I like? I like when they go in, you know, the guy that she like beats with a baseball bat in like episode one or two.
Yes.
And then they go to like
deserved it.
So she's trying to sell the like 1 kilo of Coke she has or whatever. Yes. And they go to the guy and like, so they call him the bird, but like, you'll see, but don't say anything. And then they're taught. And he's like, no, your cocaine was very good. And she's like, yeah, I'm surprised you don't have the whole thing up your nose. And she starts like making fun of how big his nose is.
And then he makes her touch his nose.
Yeah. I mean, he gets weird, but I did like that. Her just being like, she's being girl boss. Then everybody there dies. That was also very good. So, and there's like the big guy. I kind of love like a monster who can't be killed. So like the guy coming in and just being shot like 15 times, but like standing because he's like a big beast. I kind of did like. I like that. I think that's where she first meets Rivi as well. But
yeah. Yes. Okay. Best death. You already said Arturo.
Yeah, I think it's Arturo. I mean, you could also argue that Alberto's death is also the best death. But cinematic, like, there's two things. One is, like, I was really happy when we find out that she shot Alberto. But I do think Arturo's is the best for, like, the one that I...
Yeah. I would agree. It's the most impactful, right? I would say second for me is finding out that when they attempted to kill the one guy, they accidentally killed his kid instead. Yeah, that was pretty devastating. And it's
like Ozzy being like, what the heck's going on TV? And they're like, actually, your mom did that. It's bad.
Yeah, your mom's a bad lady.
Yeah.
All right. Our superlative, Grace, do you have a superlative in mind?
I think it's a show that I'm going to get into the cocaine business. I think it seems like it's a good time. I'm most likely to make me want to get into the cocaine business. I think I'm
good time to do it.
Yeah. I'm going to buy a kilo and I'm going to sell it. It's good. Yeah. You look like you make a lot of money. You make a lot of money. A
lot of money, but you have to kill a lot of people.
That's who hasn't already?
Who hasn't? I think I would say, I don't know, show that made me like really love the aesthetic of the 70s even more. Like it just such a vibe, the outfits, the hair. I don't know. I obviously like part of it takes place in the 80s too, but I can't get over like the feathered hair and the curtain bangs. I just loved it.
I mean, I think best show that to squeeze in an Uber Eats pun on the pod.
There you go. Yeah. And unfortunately, I don't remember there being a theme song.
There's not. There's just title credits over Griselda every episode.
Okay. So, I was like, did I miss it? I don't remember anything.
It's just like once an episode, Griselda would pop over Griselda's face. That's like, you know.
Okay, but that's nothing. There's this million.
No, it's nothing. I would put it right at the bottom.
You trash, Griselda. Sorry.
What else is at the very bottom, though? Sorry. What else is
A Murder at the End of the World? But that at least had interesting things.
Yeah, forced the mirror at the end of the world. Yeah.
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 So it's in the trash, in the bin at the bottom of the rankings. Next week, Scavenger's Reign.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. We're kind of like, this is probably the thing that will have the most time removed from since it aired to when we're watching it. But it's so, it's a little bit of a, it's not that there's nothing on TV. There is a little bit of stuff on TV. It's just that a lot of it is actually starting to air weekly. So Expats just started. Obviously, we're not going to cover this because Rich and Philly are covering it, but Masters of the Air. But it's a little bit of a slow time for both movies. Like, we're not doing Post Breakups Theater this week. There's like nothing new in theaters. So it's a slow time. So we're going to revisit one that we haven't covered on Post Recaps that was very highly acclaimed. I know Josh Wigler loves it. So yeah.
It's if for those who aren't sure what it is, it's an adult animated science fiction drama series, and it's on Max. And apparently it is based on the 2016 short film Scavengers.
Yeah.
So
I've heard the world building in this is super excellent, like top notch. So yeah, it is 12 episodes. So we have some watching,
but they're like 25 minutes a piece, Grace.
Yeah,
I could do that in my sleep.
It's actually probably shorter than Griselda, actually, probably. Because if they're 12 episodes,
even if it isn't, 25 minutes is so much, it's so digestible. You know, it's so, I can't get over, like, I love, I miss the days of this 22 minute sitcom. Oh,
yeah. So, that's what we're gonna talk. Maybe a guest, we'll see. Have some feelers out.
That's next week. So check that out if you're interested. And of course, don't forget to subscribe. PostRecaps.com/full-spoiler-recaps. Grace, what else do you have going on?
Yeah. So True Detective Night Country is airing, finished episode 3. So halfway through this week. So Dr. Mann and I are on the recap, and then you and I just do the deep dive, hopefully with some guests along the way. We're not doing Post Recaps Theater this week, but I'm sure we'll be back next week. That's, I think, the extent of the plugs I have.
Wow.
That January, it's a tough time for podcasts. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a lull.
Oh, I was I was on a podcast called Truth Unrestricted. Spencer, a listener of the podcast, reached out to me and I talked about how to have conversations about trans people. So I thought it was very, very good. Truth Unrestricted. It's, I thought it was a lovely conversation. Should check that out. I did that for fun. It was a few weeks ago that we recorded it, but it just came out this week. So
you could find me at DJ Sterling. I am mostly just chatting about Felicity and Buffy every week over on Shoot 90 Shows Taught Me. And here talking True Detective with Grace, really loving this season of True Detective. If you gave up the show because you like weren't a huge fan of like seasons 2 and 3, jump back in season 4. It's been so good, especially like we're talking a lot about women told stories with Griselda. True Detective is hitting it out of the park, in my opinion. So definitely check that out. Until next week, you've been fully spoiled.
And you've been fully recapped.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.